Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 135 of the podcast. It is Major League Baseball playoff time, and there is no better way, in my opinion, to talk baseball betting than with my guy Gil Alexander down in Las Vegas. Gil hosts the wildly popular betting podcast, Beating the Book. He also hosts the show, A Numbers Game, on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. We have been friends for a while, dating way back to before so much of what we're into now. He's going to come on and break down the two wildcard games, as well as everything that should take place between now and the end of the playoffs, culminating with a World Series champion. He will give you his pick. He actually, from what I understand, just made a bet today on a team he thinks could win the World Series, so he will share that with you. Before we jump to Gil, a quick recap of how the NFL weekend went. College football 3-2. We lost the upset alert with Cal, but we did turn a small profit going 3-2. In the NFL, it was a 2-2 week with our four standalone picks, but we did hit on the 6-point teaser play, taking Jacksonville and Cleveland, which makes the Sharp 600 teaser plays 3-1 on the season. So Thursday, get excited. Your next episode of the College Football Podcast is coming up. Friday, we will have Week 5 of the NFL in store for you.
Just like a young man coming in for a quickie.
Feels like I've known this guy forever. He is one of the absolute best in the business. First, check out his podcast, Beating the Book. Second, follow him on Twitter, at Beating the Book. Third, check him out on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, where he hosts the show, A Numbers Game. Ladies and gentlemen, Gil Alexander making his return to the Sharp 600. How you doing, buddy? How's Vegas treating you?
I'm doing very well. Vegas is awesome. Does this mean, by the way, I mean to ask you this every time, does this mean I am one of the 600 individuals on Earth that is considered sharp? What does that title mean?
The original concept was that it was only going to be 10 minutes long, which is 600 seconds.
I see.
And then I got to a point where, like, I really enjoyed these conversations, and now we're just blowing through to, like, 30 minutes. So it's really like the sharp 1800, which doesn't sound that great.
All right. Yeah. I need clarification. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Yeah, it's a pleasure as always. Well, it's baseball time, and I want to talk playoffs and World Series, and you're always my guy. Well, now that Joe Pete is out of the game, you're my guy. So I stole him from you, but yes. I always love these chats. Let me start with this. You've been with VSiN for a while now. You guys are at the forefront of the sports gambling revolution that is taking place in the post-PASPA world. What have you noticed? What's it like being at VSiN? Can you feel more of a buzz being in Las Vegas now that sports betting is becoming more widespread, legalized throughout the country?
I don't know if I feel more of a buzz in Vegas, right? Because that's a weird place to feel more of the buzz because, you know, it's always been there. What I definitely feel is that when I travel to New Jersey and to Mississippi, which I have done so this football season, side gig I do with Jay Root over at MGM, that's when I really feel it. Like a middle of a Wednesday afternoon, the Borgata in August, you know, in August, a lazy August Wednesday afternoon, the Borgata is just packed, absolutely packed. The sports book is standing room only, and that's before football season even started. Mississippi, we just did a video at Beau Rivage that got 500,000 hits.
Whoa!
That's not because they like me or they like Jay. That's because they're so into sports betting and they've been so starved for it that they're all about it. So it's not so much here in Las Vegas, but man, it's palpable out there for sure.
That's one of the cushier gigs. I watch those videos and I know the guys you have on the production team, Dave Farah and Matt Brown, are friends of mine.
Yeah.
And I recently watched one where you have this like pink checkered jacket and you've always been a fantastic dresser, but now you and Rude are like taking it to a whole nother level with the fashion. This is obviously by design.
Yeah, this pink jacket has gotten a lot of press. Not good press, I have to tell you.
I like it.
Not particularly good press. You'd wear it, Joe. I know you would. Damn it.
All right, so biggest surprise of baseball season, because we've had a lot this year. Right here in the Bay Area where I'm located, the A's somehow found their way to 97 wins. I know for about 3 years you've been telling me the A's, they're undervalued. And yet finally, here's the explosion. They win 97 games. The Braves come out of nowhere to win the National League East. Bigger surprise. Or is there one I'm missing?
No, those are definitely the two biggest surprises. I think the A's is the bigger one. You know, let's sort of crowd source this one. The guys that I've had on my show, Jason Weingarten, Paul Spohr, the VEASAN show, they were all about the Braves. They just didn't think it would happen this year. They thought it would take another year. And I think when we talk about the National League playoffs, they're still the one team we don't really consider as having a true shot at winning the pennant. And I certainly feel that way. No disrespect to that team. But as much as you give me credit for the A's, let me just say this. I was on your Sharp 600 podcast mid-season, and I famously said, yes, the Mariners will drop off. No, the A's will not be able to overtake them. So let's not give me too much credit.
50-50?
Go ahead, I'm sorry?
You went 50-50 in Trump's America. That flies.
That's right. The A's have been unbelievable. I mean, they could have just as easily won 100 games. You're closer to them than I am. This is Billy Beane's, Joe. This is Billy Beane's greatest season ever, in my humble opinion. He has had great feats before this, but this is really unbelievable, especially given the injuries to that pitching staff. I don't know what they do, how they treat a wild card game tomorrow, quite frankly, because I think it ends up being a de facto bullpen game. But they are really the most amazing team. And again, it's tough to project a team that has to play a one-off wild card game too far into the playoffs. But if they get by that game, God, that's the proverbial team you don't want to play.
We're going to get to that game in just a second. But since we're taping Tuesday morning, we might as well begin with tonight's game. Colorado in Chicago to take on the Cubs. It's John Lester versus Freeland, two lefties who have had, well, in Freeland's case, he's been rock solid this year. The Cubs find themselves as roughly minus 135 favorites, total sitting at 7. Any lean on this game in any aspect? And then the follow-up question is going to be, if the Cubs lose this game, do you see Chicago running Joe Maddon out?
Boy, that's tough. That latter part is tough. I don't know if they run him out, because I don't know about that part. I will say this, that tonight's game is – I was on the Brewers yesterday as a dog at Wrigley. I'll be on, now that it's gotten to the price that it's gotten to, I will be on the Rockies as a dog today at about plus 127, depending on where you can get it. There are two things against the Rockies that people who are on the Cubs today like to talk about. One is the travel. The fact that the Rockies had to be in Coors for a game against the Nationals on Sunday, had to be at Chavez Ravine in L.A. for a game yesterday, now have to be at Chicago at Wrigley three consecutive days. And I asked Ryan Howard on the show today, you're old buddy for the Philadelphia Phillies, he was on the show. I was like, is that overblown? And he said, yes and no. It kind of is. But like, that shouldn't be the reason that people use to pick against the Rockies. And I totally agree with that. Like, these guys aren't in 36B by the bathroom. They're 25-year-olds, you know, on charter flights. It's like, let's not use that as a reason. Now, Kyle Freeland on short rest, that could be a problem, because we've never seen Kyle Freeland ever on short rest in a battle of lefties today. But I'm an advanced stats guy. I'm a sabermetrics guy. And so for me, I cannot back John Lester. For me, it's either the Rockies or nothing. John Lester has a 3.32 ERA this year, but his fielding independent is 4.39, and that's roughly, you know, a running some change more. And fielding independent is a greater reflection, fielding independent pitching, FIP, a greater reflection of his true skill set, taking out factors like defense, like ballpark. So he's really been helped by a fortunate home run to fly ball rate, also a fortunate strand rate. By the way, Kyle Freeland has as well. The difference is that Kyle Freeland pitches in Coors primarily, whereas Lester gets Wrigley, which, you know, I get it. It's a ballpark that is beneficial to batters as well. But Freeland's level of difficulty is higher. I just can't back a guy like Lester, who is so clearly overvalued based on what his true skill set is, and quite frankly, a K rate that is not high, 19.6%, a guy who less than half of his starts have been quality. And as we know, if he gets a base runner on, And I think the biggest thing, and not that the Rockies have a great bullpen, I don't want to say that, but the biggest thing is that this Cubs bullpen, Joe, is a poo-poo platter of dreck. It is awful. And so I can't back the Cubs. Maybe the Rockies at that price. And even if the Cubs get by here, which is always possible, they are not a team I'm looking to back moving forward.
All right, Wednesday night in the American League, it's the A's at the Yankees. The Yankees have announced Luis Severino will take the mound. The A's have announced it'll be Liam Hendricks as they employ a bullpenning strategy for the wild card game. Westgate has opened up a price. The Yankees are monster favorites at minus 190, over-under set at 8.5. Another two-part question. What do you like here, if anything? And number two, if the A's pull this one off on national TV in the Bronx with this bullpenning strategy, what's it going to do to baseball?
Well, I've already asked. Let's take the first one first. Do I have a? I believe your question was, do I have a lead here? Yes, I do. I would take the A's at that price. There's no way the Yankees should be at that number against the Athletics in a one-off game. They just shouldn't be. And I get it. The Yankees have a great bullpen. I'm all about bullpens, and that dovetails nicely into your second question, which is, this has been the year. You know, before the season started, Joe, we called it on the show. I was like, there's going to be two things this year. We're going to have a big chasm between the haves and have-nots. That has definitely played out. And the fact that what the Kansas City Royals started in 2014, famously losing in seven games to the Giants in the World Series and then winning the World Series the subsequent year against the Mets, building your ball club back forward. The bullpen first. In 2014, it was Herrera, Davis, and Holland, 7, 8, 9. And the Royals did that out of necessity. They just didn't have the resources, the payroll to pay to get great starting pitchers. They would have otherwise. But what came from that is this revolution of teams saying, oh, that's interesting. Why don't we play baseball that way? The Yankees are the best modern-day example of that. That's clearly how it happened. Now, taking it a step further this year, what you're alluding to is what the Rays did most of the year, right? The Rays had it. There was a point this year that the Rays had no starting pitcher. When Blake Snell went on the DL, at one point this year they had no starting pitcher on the active roster. Think about that. And so when you talk to ballplayers about this, they're like, well, here's the issue with that. If you construct your baseball team that way, they don't get wins. They don't get saves. What are you going to pay these guys based on?
Ah, nice.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. But from a win baseball game standpoint, if you're a team like the Rays, that's absolutely the way you should play it. And I think it makes all the sense in the world if you play a guy at the top of the order, a reliever, and then you bring in sort of your better pitcher after that to face 4, 5, 6. There's a lot of ways where it makes sense. What will it do to baseball? I think it will just further what has already now been planted in everybody's mind, which is there are many ways to play this game of baseball that has existed for over a century. Maybe we ought to open our minds to different ways of doing this.
I am absolutely ripping that off for my radio show tomorrow. Absolutely ripping that off. Hey, guys, you got to watch out. What are you going to pay these guys? I just thought of that. What do you think, Lowe?
Yeah.
What do you think, Dibs?
Yeah, I'd love to hear what Lowe would have some off the wall to say about that, I'm sure. But, you know, think about that, because saves, right? We take saves for granted. Those of us of a certain generation, we're like, oh, yeah, save. But, like, people before us who watch baseball, this is just a completely made-up stat to them, right? Dennis Eckersley completely, you know, the A's specifically used Eckersley in a way where La Russa was like, all right, well, this is what he's going to do, and this is all he's going to do. And so we almost created a stat based on that deployment of Eckersley, and then obviously everybody followed suit. And then we created a salary structure in baseball based on your success in that stat. So this is sort of the opposite of that now. Very, very interesting.
Oh, without question. Thursday night, National League Divisional Series, Atlanta in Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers. This Dodger team, they just feel tired from start to finish. But the Braves, like you had mentioned at the beginning of the pod, they might be a year ahead of schedule. How much of a fight can they really put up in this thing?
Yeah, I think they are a year ahead of schedule. And again, no disrespect. It's already a winning season for them. I'm sure that's not what they want to hear. But I would just put it this way, in terms of a betting standpoint, I would not go crazy laying minus 220s on Clayton Kershaw versus the Braves, let's say, if that comes out, for a couple reasons. Not to say the Dodgers won't win those games. They might. But if you're asking me if there's value in those kind of prices, the answer is absolutely not. First of all, the notion that Clayton Kershaw is the pitcher he once was, let alone the Dodgers ace, is so 2016. He's just not. And their bullpen, I hate to make it the theme of the show, while the Dodgers have bats galore, they have nonstop offense. But that bullpen, and that's the difference. Yesterday watching baseball, I think the biggest takeaway for people ought to have been, oh, wow, the Brewers have a phenomenal bullpen. The Cubs do not. And Kenley Jansen is as shaky as ever. And I think the difference in the National League at the top between the Brewers and the Dodgers is just that. The Brewers' pen can be relied on. The Dodgers can't. And so if you're asking me the Dodgers versus the Braves, yeah, I think the Dodgers will advance in that series. I think they have kind of more of everything than the Braves do. But ultimately, would you want to lay a big price in any one individual game? I would hesitate on that.
Friday night, it's a matchup between the last two representatives in the American League for the World Series, the Cleveland Indians and the Houston Astros. Any lean here?
Yeah, this God, I love the baseball playoffs, man. As interminable as the regular season is, and it is, the playoffs are unlike anything else. As Billy Beane famously said, you know, my shit doesn't work in the postseason. I hope that's a quote. I hope I'm just not cursing on your podcast.
No, it's all good. We're not regulated.
But Cleveland-Houston is the best because Houston is old school, right? Houston is like the old teams that we grew up on that start with starting pitching. And they've got nonstop starting pitching between Verlander and Cole and Morton, and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody offhand, but it's a whole rotation, and that's where they start. They got offense, you know, tremendous offense. Maybe a question mark or two in the bullpen. Maybe, you know, if you had to quibble, that's where it is. But they're the World Series champions, and they ought to be the favorite to repeat. They should be. But the Cleveland Indians, you talk about the phrase teams under the radar. Well, this team has been comatose. They're not just under the radar. They have been coasting since really the All-Star break. Like right at the end of July, they could pretty much turn it into just cruise control mode. There was no challenge in the AL Central. And as a result, no one is talking about them. Maybe to some degree justifiably so, because they're not as sexy as some of the other teams, like Boston, like Houston, like the Brewers, who have been upstart in the National League, the Dodgers, obviously. But it's very, you know, recent in our memories where they came within one game of, and maybe one inning, of beating the Cubbies in 2016. And as long as Terry Francona has Andrew Miller at his disposal in that bullpen, if they can get anything else out of that bullpen, the way he deployed it 2 years ago was phenomenal. And in Lindor and Ramirez, they have two ball players that are just phenomenal. And people, I don't know if it's an American thing. We tend to not think about these two ball players who play for the Indians as much as we do. Some of the other guys that get publicity, maybe they don't fit the prototype of a big ball player who can hit for power. But they are phenomenal. And I would love to see the Indians make that series. And depending on what the price is, I might take a flyer on them.
Boston won more games than anybody in the business this season. They'll be hosting either the Yankees or the A's in the other half of the ALDS. Who's going to give them the bigger fight? And do you see Boston emerging when all is said and done?
I do see Boston emerging. But man, I don't want to see the Red. Do you want to see the Red Sox and the Yankees, Joe? Do you have a
kind of
series?
Well, like, really? Okay. So for example, just being here in the Bay Area, I want to see the A's because of the local flavor. But if the A's can't win it, I really don't mind if it's Red Sox Yankees. For some reason, I feel as if we've gone long enough without that being a big thing for someone like me that I'm okay dealing with it again. I understand if that's a contrarian opinion or if that's an unpopular opinion, but I'm okay with it.
That's all right. I like your contrarian opinions. I can understand that. I mean, I think what you'll get with the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees is 5-hour baseball games,
yeah.
Right? With the Red Sox emerging as the victor after a pretty good long fought, you know, as long as it's only best of five, but as long as the series can go, I think you'll see the Red Sox get it done in the end. Because ultimately, there's a reason why they won the 108 games. Probably could have won more, but they went to sort of a cruise control mode, I think, themselves. But they're the best team in baseball during the regular season. I think they're better than the Yankees. But again, keep in mind, the way the Yankees will play it, as they always do, just get us through five or six starting pitchers. I just don't think they have enough reliable starting pitching to do that. That's the problem.
All right, so here we find ourselves now at the American League Championship Series. Based on everything we've discussed, the path in which these teams have to take, who do you like emerging to represent the AL in the World Series?
All right, well, it's going to be between, you know, boy, this is a tougher one. Because if you ask me the National League, I can tell you I know it's going to be between the Brewers and the Dodgers, and I give the Brewers the edge.
Whoa, spoilers. What are you doing? I got a whole I got a whole structure here for how I'm working through this interview, Gil. That's spoilers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. What a terrible guest I am. Horrible.
Joe, let me just blow through the next three questions you have, and we're going to go Brewers, Dodgers. So,
all right. I'll
wait
start
a minute.
I'll start with the American League.
No. Now that we're already here, we might as well get into it. Who do you like in the NL?
All right. I thought you were going to apply edit to it. In the what are you asking me? What am I supposed to answer? AL? Oh, yeah. AL. Okay. I think in the American League, I am going to, God, I want to take the Indians over the Astros. And if there's value in that series, I will.
Wow.
But if you're asking me right now, who do I think is going to go to the World Series? I think it's the Houston Astros.
Okay. But you really do have a feel for those Indians, it seems like.
I think they're the one team that you want a surprise team. That's the team. That's the team that I think people should be concerned about as if you're a Houston backer.
All right. Now, since we haven't talked about it at all, we might as well transition over to the National League. I know you like the Dodgers over the Braves. Do you see Milwaukee getting past the wild card winner? And if so, that sets up Milwaukee and the Dodgers. How do you like it?
Yeah, so I tip my hand. I'm the Brewers all the way.
You like them that much?
Because Josh Towers, who is a former major leaguer who's on defense, he sees the weakness of the Brewers as, listen, all these guys besides Yelich are feast or famine hitters, and their starting pitching obviously is not that great. Well, that's all. I'm not going to necessarily knock all of that, but they've gotten past their starting pitching all year. They've figured it out, and that bullpen behind Hader and Knebel at the top is spectacular. Yelich is the bona fide MVP. They are getting it done in every which way. I think that bullpen's the difference. I think the Brewers beat whoever they play first, and I think they beat the Dodgers, which sucks for me because I have a 25-1 on the Dodgers to win the World Series, which I got when they were 16-26.
Good for
you. Yeah, but I don't think it's gonna come through. I don't think the Dodgers are. I think they're too shaky. Jansen scares me, and I don't think Kershaw is really that good right now. He's so hittable in a way that he never has been before. Lefties used to have no chance against him. Now they're going yard on him, and it's one of these things where he is so still overrated by mainstream media. They slurp him all the time, and I'm like, are we watching the same guy? Like, we didn't have Kershaw on the back of his jersey. He's still good, but he's not ace Kershaw. So I've got the Brewers in the NL, and I'm going to say the Astros in the American League.
I was talking to Chris Rose this morning, and he said he already thinks Walker Buehler is the best pitcher on the Dodger staff.
There's no question. There's no question about it. He's right. 100% right.
All right, so based on who you like to make it to the World Series, who do you like winning the World Series?
Oh, I mean, it sucks if I have to say Houston because it's such a boring answer.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's whatever you feel.
I think Houston beats Milwaukee, but here's the thing. I just made a bet this morning. Let me not talk. Let me tell you where I put my money.
Okay?
My money is on the Brewers. I just made a bet this morning on the Brewers to win it all, I got it at +930. Something like that, that range. So my money's on the Brewers. I could very easily see the Astros beating them, but that's where I have put my money.
Final question before I let you go. The Brewers, if they're to make this much noise, what does it say about their approach? I mean, it was just a couple years ago that they were fire sailing, and I remember the names that were being mentioned, like when they traded Chris Davis to Oakland, and I thought, we're not going to hear from the Brewers for like 5 or 6 years. Them, the Reds, all these teams, this is a big project in front of them. And then lo and behold, here we are. I'm on a podcast less than 2 years later with a guy I respect who knows baseball as well as anyone telling me he likes him to win the World Series. What the hell happened?
Let me just say this. Before the season started, I took them as an under on their season win total because I'm like, look, they have no starting pitching. And, boy, I hope they can keep it afloat till Jimmy Nelson shows up. Like, it shows you how much we know about baseball before any season starts. By the way, if you're betting futures, never bet futures. Season win totals is one thing, but futures, it's ridiculous. Wait till I did, like, when the Dodgers have a swoon, then jump in, same thing, because there's no value in the preseason market. But back to your and last thing before I talk about the Brewers anymore, the Chris Davis thing always is like a open wound opening for me. Last year, I bet on Chris Davis to have the most home runs in baseball at 50-1, and for whatever reason, I decided not to bet him this year. I am an idiot.
All right, hold on. We can't end the podcast talking about your losing picks because you give me winners all the time. Weren't you on the Royals under and you got it like 10 games before the move?
Yes, I bet the Royals at 76.5 on February 7th when CG put it out. Before a game was even played, they were at 67.5. And at day one, when they went 0-1, I said to them, I go, listen, you can pay me 80% right now. And they're like, if we could, we would. So,
All right, that
one worked out.
So we closed the podcast on a positive note talking about the Royals.
You.
Who would have thought the whole thing circled back to Kansas City?
Yeah,
check him out on Twitter, at Beating the Book. He's got one of the best and most underrated sports betting podcasts on the market. It's called Beating the Book with Gil Alexander. I have been fortunate enough to be a guest on that fine program. He's the host of A Numbers Game on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. My good buddy Gil Alexander with us here on 95.7 The Game, which what I meant to say is on the Sharp 600, because this is not the radio show. This is the podcast. Buddy, I love you. Thank you so much. I'm going to try to come down to town soon. I know I bullshit everyone with that, but I genuinely do want to see you. I miss you. I can't wait to talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on.
You're the man, Joe. Thank you so much, man.
We all know each other here, and we're like friends. So if nobody complains, do you have a problem?
It's all right.
No problem.
That'll do it for episode 135 of the Sharp 600. Shout out to my man, Gil Alexander, in Las Vegas, for jumping on the program. It is always greatly appreciated. Shout out to all of you for your continued support of this project. Hey, we're here for you because we love you and because you guys keep coming back for more. Record-breaking numbers of the podcast each and every week. You guys are beautiful. Thank you so much for your support. We're back later in the week, Thursday with college football, Friday with the NFL. Enjoy the baseball playoffs, everybody. Be well, and best of luck.